was unheard of for a sitting American president
to file suit against a news outlet. This never happened before.
Until President Trump returned to office for a second term. But now he has sued the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and as of this morning, the BBC.
President Trump, domestic propaganda has been the bane of your existence.
Obama repealed the 1948 Smith-Mundt Act, which then permitted propaganda to be in broadcasting. It no longer said that it had to be credible.
Inevitably, Obama's Orwellian Smith-Mundt Modernization Act will be amended or repealed. We are going on nearly 15 years of its implementation, and mainstream media has become nothing short of an enemy of the people. But you knew that. Case in point. In the heart of New York City, outside the opulent Gracie Mansion, American patriots led by J6 prisoner Jake Lang gathered to sound the alarm on the creeping Islamic influence under Mayor Zohran Mamdani's regime.
An explosive device with bolts and screws was thrown into a crowd. It happened in New York City on Saturday during a protest that turned violent outside the mayor's official residence.
New York City got extremely lucky yesterday. TATP is enormously volatile. It is not very stable. It's extremely powerful. And it is the footprint, and if you go by past events, of serious bombing attacks. The London 7-7 attacks, Richard Reid's attempt on a plane. Many of us remember the Ariana Grande attacks outside the Manchester Arena. These are situations where you're well into double figures of people killed, never mind injured.
Instead of condemning the barbaric attack, Mayor Mamdani, a self-proclaimed progressive Muslim template, doubled down on vilifying Lang as a white supremacist.
This was a vile protest rooted in white supremacy entitled Stop the Islamic Takeover of New York City. I'm the first Muslim mayor of our city. Anti-Muslim bigotry is nothing new to me, nor is it anything new for the 1 million or so Muslim New Yorkers who know this city as our home.
The mainstream media echo chamber followed suit, amplifying smears against American patriots and populism.
Authorities say they were part of a group of nearly 125 people counter-protesting a much smaller anti-Islam demonstration led by Jake Lang.
The violent
pardon U.S. Capitol insurrectionist who has frequently sought out political confrontations in the months after President Trump gave him clemency. In a statement, Mayor Zohran Mamdani saying, quote, yesterday, white supremacist Jake Lang organized a protest outside Gracie Mansion rooted in bigotry and racism.
Obama's CIA media monstrosity uses many tools in their propaganda toolbox. One of those is called minimized framing, where certain aspects of a story, event, or issue are deliberately downplayed, underemphasized, or minimized in the framing process. This allows acts of terror, sedition, or treason to carry on toward their goal. CNN recently illustrated minimized framing in stark detail, posting about two jihadist terrorists as if their innocent lives took an unexpected turn on a lovely warm day in New York City. CNN had to redact and apologize. Another tool is outright lying.
Two Republicans say Muslims don't belong here after an attempted terror attack against New York's mayor, Zohran Mamdani, and the House Speaker, Mike Johnson, says nothing really to condemn those comments. I incorrectly said that the bombs that were thrown by ISIS-inspired suspects in New York over the weekend were directed at Mayor Mamdani. They were not. I failed to catch and correct that mistake in real time, and I take full responsibility for that.
This blatant bias exposes the deep state's playbook. Protect the invaders, demonize the defenders, all while sleeper cells activate across the homeland, plotting the next 9/11 style horror in real time.
In Michigan, at the synagogue about 25 miles away from the big Islamic headquarters there in Dearborn, where the politicians openly chant death to America, death to Trump, death to the U.S. military, death to Israel. We have reportedly him crashing a vehicle.
All right, folks, that is the latest from John Bound. Find and share it on band.video. The media's minimized framing leads to maximum danger. We'll be right back on the other side. We go to Dispatch.
We have the widest collection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday the 13th. Glad you're here with us today. We have a very big show. In the third hour, we will be joined by James Fishback, who, of course, is running for the governorship of Florida and is making some very big waves and making some very impressive gains against the establishment Republican he is challenging. Well, let's begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Friday, the 13th of March, 2025. Pentagon confirms all six crew dead as pro-Iranian Iraqi militants claim they downed U.S. refueling plane. The Pentagon has just confirmed two additional deaths in Thursday's downing of KC-135 refueling tanker aircraft over western Iraq. This brings the total deaths up to six in the incident, which marks the single deadliest aerial event for the U.S. in side of the war. The Pentagon further reiterated its stance that it was not enemy or friendly fire. The overnight confirmation of a U.S. KC-135 that went down over western Iraq marks the single deadliest aerial incident suffered by the United States since the start of Operation Epic Fury. A Friday morning Pentagon briefing has confirmed that four of the six crew members on board have died as rescue efforts for the other two service members continue. But, of course, those two service members have also now been confirmed dead, making it a no-survivor situation, unfortunately, bringing the number of confirmed admitted dead in the Iran war up to the double digits. The Financial Times reports that the Iran war is draining years worth of U.S. weapons supplies. The opening phases of the Trump administration's military campaign against Iran is already revealing the staggering financial and logistical demands of modern warfare. In just a matter of days, the conflict has consumed vast quantities of advanced weapons and billions of dollars in military resources. According to a new report published by the Financial Times and other outlets, American forces have already burned through stockpiles of critical munitions that would normally last for years. Officials say the pace of weapon usage is raising serious questions inside Washington about the long-term sustainability of the campaign. Okay, well, It's not sustainable long term. So there you go. Problem solved. You have to end it pretty soon, actually, for like a whole number of reasons. But yeah, the lack of weaponry is probably the biggest one. Meanwhile, Old Dominion shooter was released from prison early after completing a drug treatment program. So, of course, there was a shooting at Old Dominion University in Virginia yesterday, as well as the attack on the synagogue. We're getting more information about both of these events. Mohammed Baylor Jola, who had previously served time for attempting to assist the Islamic State group, carried out the shooting at Old Dominion University in Virginia on Thursday. ROT students subdued and killed him after he opened fire inside a classroom. The attack left one person dead and two others injured, prompting scrutiny over why this despicable murderer had been released from prison in terms under and the terms under which he was freed, given his earlier convictions for supporting a terrorist organization. He'd pled guilty in 2016 to providing material support to the Islamic State group and was sentenced in 2017 to 11 years in federal prison with credit for time served dating back to his July 16th, 2016 arrest. He was released from federal custody on July 23rd,
December 23rd, 2024, far earlier than expected after reportedly completing a drug treatment program that can reduce prison sentences for up to a year, although inmates convicted of terrorism-related offenses are generally not eligible for such reductions. I don't even understand. I guess he had drug problems on top of it, but that doesn't make any sense. You get convicted for providing material support to a terrorist group, and so you have to take a drug treatment program? What? Okay. Vance was, quote, skeptical voice in White House on Iran strikes. I say, doubtfully. I say, thoroughly unconvinced of the assertion. This is from Politico. White House officials revealed that the vice president had made his opposition known in the lead-up. This is literally the opposite of what was said earlier. Previously, in the first week of the attack, it was reported that J.D. Vance had said, I mean, the feeling I got, the impression I got was that Vance was like, well, I wasn't for the attack, but if we're going to attack Iran, we got to hit them hard and make it really big and, you know, not just like a little one-time, one-off thing like we did last summer. So it was reported that he was the voice saying, we're going to hit him, we got to hit him hard. But now they're backing off of that. And I wonder if this has anything to do with the fact that the current Iran war is completely tanking J.D. Vance's future political prospects. I don't know. I just don't think it's going to help. I don't think you should have gone harder earlier, I think, J.D. You should have been against it from the beginning and vocally, but it's a little too little too late, I think. Finally, suspect in Michigan synagogue attack had lost his family in Israel in Israeli strike on Lebanon. The armed suspect, who drove a vehicle into the hallway of a large Michigan synagogue complex that includes a school, had just lost four family members in an Israeli airstrike in his native Lebanon just last week, an official said on Friday. A potential mass casualty event was averted when security guards already in place of Temple Israel in West Bloomfield Township on the outskirts of Detroit killed the driver before any harm could come to the synagogue staff, teachers, and the 140 children at the early childhood center there on Thursday afternoon. The suspect was later named by authorities as Ayman Muhammad Ghazali, 41, who was born in Lebanon and had become a naturalized U.S. citizen. The FBI, which is leading the investigation, described the attack as one of the nation's largest reform synagogues as an act of violence targeting the Jewish community. Photographs of an FBI raid on Ghazali's reported residence in Dearborn Heights, a Detroit suburb with a large Lebanese community, appeared on the website of the New York Post on Friday. Ghazali had come to the U.S. in 2011 on a family-related visa as the spouse of a U.S. citizen and was granted U.S. citizenship in 2016, according to the Department of Homeland Security. The New York Times reported Friday that Ghazali had a job at Hamido, a Mediterranean food restaurant. An Israeli airstrike killed four people in the eastern Lebanon town of Mashgara on the 5th of March. Lebanon's state agency and the Lebanese health ministry reported a woman was also wounded. So apparently this guy learned that two brothers, a niece and a nephew, were all killed at their home by an Israeli airstrike on the 5th of March, and apparently decided to take revenge on the Jewish community here in America. Not exactly a unexpected consequence. Obviously the opposite of helpful. If you want to actually contribute to the war efforts in Israel, you should do exactly what this guy did, obviously. Because there's nothing will unify America behind going after Iran like, you know, Iranian supporters murdering innocent people here in America, or at least attempting to. There are a few suspicious things about that attack that we can get into, including an FBI training for that exact event that occurred just last month. But of course, nobody except for the attacker was killed. And so we can be thankful for that. But again, it's like, I don't know what they expected to happen. You literally brought over like millions and millions of pretty hardcore Islamists into this country. So when you do that, you are really setting yourself up for failure. You have imported, deliberately established the stay-behind networks that will wage war against us. And, you know, even if it's not like stay-behind networks, even if it's not, you know, people from Iran or Hezbollah that were sent here and have, you know, orders to look for an alert and then, you know, go out and destroy, on some sort of, you know, wider scale plan, you also just have Muslims that just won't fight for America. They just won't ever actually take up arms for America. They would be much more likely to fight against America. And they'll be the first to tell you that. We got a lot of videos from the last few days when it comes to the war in Iran. Let's start with clip number 5 here. This is Pete Hegseth. He gave a press conference today. There have been some pretty interesting clips out of it. Let's go to this first. Clip number 5. Here's Pete Hegseth earlier today.
Prohibiting transit in the straits right now is Iran shooting at shipping. It is open for transit should Iran not do that.
Okay, so there you go. The Strait of Hormuz is open for transit. It's just that, you know, Iran will fire missiles at you. But other than that, it's totally open. There are no threats going through the Strait of Hormuz, except, of course, for the Iranian missiles. But, you know, if they stop shooting those, then it's open. So we can just consider it open. Of course, little caveat there, there are the missiles. But other than that, I'm not kidding. Let's play that again, because I think we missed the first part. Let's play that same clip, because it's short. Here's Pete Hegseth saying the Strait of Hormuz is safe, you know, except for the missiles. Let's watch.
The only thing prohibiting transit in the straits right now is Iran shooting at shipping. It is open for transit should Iran not do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, great. And I guess the point he's making is that there's no mines. Okay, I guess. Great. Good point. So again, it's just like, what? Nothing about this makes any sense, and it just is honestly only getting worse. Let's go to clip number 16. This is also from the press conference earlier today. Pete Hegseth being asked about how many Americans have been injured or killed so far in the 2 weeks since this utterly, utterly retarded war got started. Let's watch.
No doubt. Yeah, right there. Green jacket.
Mike Bress with the Washington Examiner. How many American casualties have there been, and where were the American service members when they were injured?
I mean, it's a bunch of return to duty. So we've had the large majority have gone in for some medical treatment and return to duty. We've had in Kuwait, Jordan, down across the southern flank a little bit, a variety of places, most from one-way attack strikes.
But I want to clarify that. I think what we've tried to do here is clarify those numbers rather than saying KIA or WIA wounded. Be more clear about that because the overwhelming majority, almost 90%.
Okay, so no answers there. That's not great. That sure isn't great. Let's go to clip 28 here. This is, again, from Pete Hegseth. This time, instead of not giving any information, probably giving a little bit too much. Let's watch.
Or more fake news from CNN. Reports that the Trump administration underestimated the Iran war's impact on the Strait of Hormuz. Patently ridiculous, of course. For decades, Iran has threatened shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. This is always what they do, hold the strait hostage. CNN doesn't think we thought of that. It's a fundamentally unserious report. The sooner David Ellison takes over that network, the better.
Okay, a couple things here. It's just like, all right, we'll work backwards, right? At the very end there, can't wait till David Ellison takes it over. That's Larry Ellison's son. That's the family that's systematically with, obviously, the cooperation here admitted of the U.S. government to buy up all of the media outlets so that they, I guess, can stop reporting things that are negative about the war effort. Because let's not get confused here. A lot of people are saying, you know, because they can't wait till CNN is owned by the conservatives so they can censor it. This has nothing to do with conservatives. This has nothing to do with Republicans. CBS just got given this treatment, essentially forced to be sold to Larry Ellison and his son and handed off to Barry Weiss. And since then, CBS has become extremely positive on Israel, but is running all of the same woke, far leftist nonsense that they were before. This has nothing to do with American conservatism. So yeah, CNN. So what did they report? That the Trump administration hadn't thought of the fact that Iran was going to close the Strait of Hormuz. And he says that's a ridiculous. It's one of these things where the truth is so ridiculous, they use it as a defense. You know what I mean? And again, you see this a lot if you watch, like, you know, true crime stuff. And there's actually a term for it. I don't know the term for it, but there's like an official, you know, psychological deception detective type word for it. Sorry, I'm getting distracted by these cool images of these awesome planes that we're sending off to, what is it, bomb elementary schools? Sorry, I forget that we have these incredible machines flying these awesome airplanes. Yeah, I don't think they thought about the Strait of Hormuz. I don't think that they had a plan for it. My evidence of that is that the Strait of Hormuz is closed and there's no boats going through. And the Trump administration is saying it's safe except for the missiles being fired. And reportedly, Iran is mining the Strait of Hormuz, although there's debate as to whether that's happening. Regardless, the one thing we do know is that the Navy is talking about escorting tankers through, but that hasn't happened yet. So what do you mean you thought of it? What do you mean that you, like, did you have a contingency plan? If so, where is it? No, I don't think you thought of this. And I think we're in a situation where the war is being fought so badly, it's being waged with so little consideration for ultimate end goals. Each, like, daily update is so devastating to the American war effort that you basically can just point to reality and go, that's ridiculous. And that's sort of the argument. So, like, with true crime stuff, it'll be, you know, you think I just broke into someone's house and murdered them? I was just walking home one day and I decided there's somebody to murder and I just went and murdered them. And it's like, no, you're on video doing exactly that. But it's like, you just say what actually happened in such a way that's like, are you kidding? That's ridiculous. But it's like, no, you guys, I know. No, it is ridiculous. Don't get me wrong. It is absolutely outrageous. It is ridiculous. I also think it happens to be true that the American war planners did not plan for the Strait of Hormuz being shut down. I don't know. They've got no solution to it. They've got no backup plan. The way they're responding to it seems haphazard and patchwork and incompetent. So I don't know. You can call CNN ridiculous for speculating that, but it's also what, you know, the officials are saying and the experts watching the activity are reading from the situation. So it may be calm down, Hegseth. Maybe you need to calm down a little bit. Do we have any more clips from that? I mean, it's just a ridiculous press conference the whole way around. The whole thing's ridiculous. I mean, the press conferences are ridiculous. The news coverage is ridiculous. I know I'm sure we're all feeling this where it's just like, where are we? What universe is this? Did we not go through the last 20 years of ridiculous war? And how are we stuck in this Truman Show, Groundhog's Day, Twilight Zone, dystopian, hellish fantasy? We're just doing the same damn thing over again, except this time even worse. It's crazy. Go to clip 34 here. This is Fox News doing what they do best, pretending to be patriots while cheering on the absolute destruction of our entire system by cheering on war overseas with no point, no goals, and no possibility of victory. Let's go to clip 34.
U.S. intelligence believe the Iranians squirreled away what's left of their uranium into what's known as Pickaxe Mountain, a nearly impenetrable bunker buried deep in granite where evil scientists have been working around the clock, cobbling back together a program that was obliterated during Operation Midnight Hammer. The bunker busters might not be able to do the trick. Reports say special forces might have to be inserted to physically shut it down on the ground.
Oh, we might have to have boots on the ground. Okay, but for a limited thing, right, just for this one sort of attack, and it's not going to spiral out from there, right? Let us get our foot in the door, okay? Look, all we're asking is a foot in the door, a 1 foot, you know? What's the risk with just 1 foot in the door? It's just, you know, what's the big deal? That it will quickly spiral out into many thousands of Americans in there? If anything were to happen during the assault on the nuclear site, there would automatically require a rescue mission that itself could get bogged down. That attempting to do something like this almost guarantees some level of complication and operational failure that will necessitate a spiraling out of the conflict. let's leave them alone. How about we, instead of doing all of that, let's not do any of it and let's go home. What if we just do that instead? I don't know. I'm just spitballing here, just speculating a possible, you know, things we could do from here on out. And how about literally anything else? Now, there is some other interesting speculation. We played you two videos yesterday, Benjamin Netanyahu, that were very different than other Netanyahu videos that have come before. In particular, the fact that he is, for one thing, actually admitting and acknowledging the fact that the war that's currently being fought is in an effort to bring about the apocalypse and their so-called Messiah, which Christians would consider the Antichrist. Okay, so he's talked about Amalek before, but and he's hinted that this was the thing, but he's never said, you know, we're bringing the kingdom and the Messiah is almost here before. He also said Israel is building the, or is becoming a, you know, world power, just like we told you was always the intention behind attacking Iran. But people know something else that was strange about it. They noticed that he has six fingers. They noticed that at certain frames in that video, he appears to have more fingers than a non-AI human typically has. This, on top of other facts that it's debatable whether he or Ben-Gavir have been seen in the last couple days, it has people speculating that Netanyahu may be dead. And actually, as part of that, clip number 48 here, I'm not sure if we have time to go to the full thing. We'll come back to it if we have to. Let's go to clip 48, because this is Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. He was being interviewed when he got called away, rushed away by Trump. Clip 48. And basically, he comes back and he sounds a little different. And again, whether, you know, people are, I mean, it's a little bit of a, you know, stretch there, but people are speculating about what exactly, what news was delivered to Scott Bessent that required they interrupt a interview. What caused him to be so uncertain when he got back? And of course, people are just sort of connecting these dots and saying maybe this was Scott Bessent being told something terrible had gone wrong in the war, and that very well could be that Netanyahu is either dead or other rumors have him injured and in need of organ transplants. These are all just rumors that are, as far as I can tell, baseless, but here's the bizarre interview with Scott Bessent that has some people questioning what news he got. Let's watch.
I listened to you on the...
The president wants you... Sorry, the president wants you very
much. Oh, okay. Okay. No problem at all. See you shortly, Mr. Secretary.
You can work that in.
Mr. Secretary, I have to say, it's a first, I'm sure a last as well, that an interviewee has been pulled away to go to the Situation Room. How is the president? Was he stressed?
No, the president is in great spirits. The Iranian mission is proceeding well ahead of schedule. And, you know, I have to tell you, Wolf, that I have a teenager who's considering military service. And I could give this team my highest compliment, from President Trump to the head of the Joint Chiefs to the Secretary of War. I would say that I would trust my child's life in their hands.
Very reassuring, Scott. Very reassuring. You sound so confident. So he got pulled away at 10:30. He didn't come back till afternoon. He got pulled for an hour and a half, and he's like, it was going great.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you feel in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We may have a special guest in the next hour. We will be joined by James Fishback in the third hour. He will be joining us to talk about the great state of Florida and his astonishing rise in popularity. Not astonishing to those of us who have been paying attention, but certainly to the establishment who are throwing everything at him that they can, and it's just not working, unfortunately, for them. Fortunately for the people of America and freedom lovers throughout the globe. Let's get a few more videos about the state of the Iranian war, and then I want to move on to some related but not exact topics, because to be honest with you, it's the same as it keeps. I mean, the war aims are just as ridiculous as they were yesterday. The statements being made by the Trump administration are just as silly and contradictory as yesterday. It's all just the same. So no development, to speak of one way or the other. It seems like America's declaring victory and losing, and Iran is continuing to fight and dug in and not going anywhere. So until that situation changes, not sure how many times we can go over it and over it and over. But let's go to clip number 29 here, because this is Stephen Miller. Again, love the guy, but, you know, when you go to war with Iran, it makes you say some silly stuff on TV. Let's go to clip 29 now.
Mr. Miller, tell us about the progress of Operation Epic Fury.
Well, I think it's important for your viewers, Jesse, and the American people to know that there's never in history been a more total asymmetric one-sided annihilation of the enemy than you are witnessing that is unfolding right now in Iran. Iran has long been feared by all the nations of the Middle East. It's long been believed to be one of the great military powers of the region, and yet the United States, under President Trump's leadership, has annihilated their navy, has annihilated their missile capabilities, has dealt devastating strikes to the IRGC and their command structure, has taken out, in collaboration and coordination with Israel, their nation's sinister leadership and command structure. It has been a complete wipeout of their capacity to unleash violence on the world. And
but that's just not true, though, is it, though? I mean, none of it really was true. I mean, some of the things they claimed were true, but the implications he was making weren't. Like, yeah, okay, we did kill the Iranian leadership, but that doesn't mean the Iranians are now without leadership. They just got new leaders. Okay, yeah, we took out a bunch of the IRGC guys, but they have a pretty hefty back bench to draw from. So those aren't exactly like, you know, victory conditions that we've achieved. They don't have a navy, but okay, they're using missiles. He says we've degraded their ability to, you know, fire the missiles, but why was Central Tel Aviv being bombarded last night? By whom and with what? I mean, what is he talking about? And he starts off by saying there has never been a more asymmetric victory, which it's like, I don't remember $11 billion of radar stations being destroyed in the first wave of either Iraq war. I mean, hell, say what you want about the purpose of the first couple of Gulf Wars. But the first Gulf War, at least, like, they had a hardcore plan. They went in. They did it, and they hit them powerful. I mean, you want to look at like what a real, you know, successful operation looks like. First Gulf War, I mean, we took out Iraq. I think we lost 86 guys total, the entire thing. That's because for months ahead of time, the generals were getting together and making a plan and getting all the pieces in place, and then it was a giant, you know, swarm attack. But regardless, it's like to then claim that this attack in the last two weeks when we have lost all of our major radar stations, we're like totally blind. They're hitting Tel Aviv on a nightly basis. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking? You're just lying. Okay, sorry. I answered it. They're lying is what's happening. So God help us. We are now in a situation where Americans, if we want even the you know, barest semblance of truth, we have to go to foreign outlets. And I don't even know if we can trust these people, but I certainly trust them more than the Americans. Let's go to clip 24 here. This is a Russian ambassador talking about the Gulf states and their reaction to Iran. Let's watch clip 24 here.
Iran's concerns, security concerns, as well as concerns of all the states, including the neighboring countries, is of utmost importance. They have the right for security. Israel has the right to security. The Gulf states have the right to security. Lebanon has the right to security, but it is not being observed. You know that U.S. recently confessed that they planned that operation while they were negotiating with Iran, and Iran was doing that in good faith. Israel recently confessed that they were planning together with the U.S. To start this operation 2 or 3 months before it started, which means that these negotiations were just a
smokescreen is what he's going to say. So, again, it's like, yeah, we're ruining our reputation overseas. We are betraying confidences. Like, we're just burning it all down for nothing, for absolutely nothing. And it's just insane. So, again, and I don't know, the Europeans do this. The American, the new American elite do this. I don't get it. They think they're being clever, I guess. You remember, I think it was Angela Merkel or another German politician who bragged about the fact that they were using the Minsk Accord to basically lull Russia into a false sense of security. They never intended to uphold it, and they later came out and said, "Oh, we considered that just a pause, it gave us some breathing room so we could arm ourselves. We always intended to attack." It's just like, you're not supposed to admit that. I don't know. They think it's like clever. They think people will be like, "Oh man, wow, they're so clever. They're so sneaky the way they did that." It's like, no, you're just, anybody can do that. That's not like a clever thing. That's not like a unique, intelligent thing to do. Everybody can lie. It's not hard. Everybody can make, you know, international agreements and never intend to follow through with them. You're not being clever. You're just destroying the fabric of international relationships and the possibility even for diplomatic solutions in the future, you absolute psychotic moron. So they just do this over and over. So they come out and go, "Yeah, you know, we were negotiating with Iran, but we'd actually been planning this attack the whole time." And like, it was actually integral to it, because the meeting that we bombed was happening because we'd made some big, you know, suggestion to them. So it's like, we actually manipulated the negotiations on purpose, because we knew that, okay, if we make this big ask, then they'll have to get together to talk about it. And when they get together to talk about it, we'll bomb them. You got our enemies around the globe, like Russia, going, "Yeah, these are the bad guys. Like, this is how you determine who's at fault for the start of the war. It's who goes out there and admits it, brags about it like it was a cool, clever thing to do." You absolute psychos. It really is beyond anything you can imagine. I mean, this would be amateurish if this was a level of like stuff going on in preschool. These are the people running the United States of America. It's crazy. Clip 27 here. U.S. and Israel's blitzkrieg failed, and the Iranian regime is only getting stronger. Let's watch.
Look, we don't know what will happen. The blitzkrieg failed. The Iranian regime, as they call it, didn't collapse. The people didn't revolt against it. Looks like there is no exit strategy for the U.S. In this game. I'm not a fortune teller, but the situation is really dire, and we are calling for the political and diplomatic solution. And those who are opposing it, and by the de facto they did it when they voted, they didn't vote in favor of our resolution, means that they bear responsibility.
Again, it's just ridiculous for the Trump administration to pretend it's anything other than what it just is obviously happening to everybody. Yeah, the Trump administration out there like, "We're winning, we're kicking butt, we have very, you know, easy to achieve goals, and we will be achieving them." Meanwhile, everybody else paying attention, including the ministers of other governments, are just like, they tried to knock out the Iran regime, it didn't work, now they don't know what the hell to do, they can't, you know, open up the Strait of Hormuz, they can't negotiate because they keep killing the people they're supposed to be negotiating with. I mean, we're just screwed. Everybody knows it, including the Trump administration, who is just desperately at this point trying to figure out how they get out of this with the least amount of damage done. It's like, it's too late, y'all. It's too late. By the way, the Iranian leadership was out having a big parade with all of the Iranian civilians. They're getting bombed in the middle of the parade, and none of them run away. They all are just there on the street being bombed. It's crazy. This guy doesn't even stop his interview. Clip 23 here. This is the head of Iran's judiciary. I guess this is like the, you know, John Roberts. This is the, you know, Supreme Court justice of Iran giving an interview during this, I guess, Quds Day is the Iranian holiday. Let's bring up the audio here. Boom, and there's the explosion. So the gathering just got bombed. He's saying the people of this country are not afraid. The people of this country are not afraid. He stays in the street and continues the interview as he's being bombed. Let's go to clip 22 here, just before. This is the same. This is the bomb that went off, just from a different angle. We'll go clip 22 here. Yeah. Again, this is the Quds Day March, and they're just out there like they're being bombed. You can see in the beginning, and here it pans back, and you see the smoke rising from where the bomb hit. They aren't even fleeing. Like, hello, do you see what I see? Are you looking at what I'm looking at? They're waving the Iranian flag. They're in the street with their fists in the air while being airstruck. Oh, but they're about to collapse, aren't they? Just kill a couple more of them, Trump. I'm sure they'll all come over to your side. I'm sure they're all just, you know, waiting to embrace the red, white, and blue. All these poor, you know, these poor people kept under the thumb of tyranny. It's like they're all literally out risking their lives just to show their support for their leadership. It's like, I don't know. Can't imagine any American leaders acting that way, behaving like that, or with the people around them supporting them like that. It's pretty incredible stuff. We're seeing some pretty incredible images out of Iran, I have to say. But of course, it's just, I'm torn because I got to show you what the administration's saying. But like, if I was just reporting this factually, just like, here's what's happening, here's what's going on, here's what people are saying, it just paints an entirely different picture. And it's just kind of exhausting having to go, here's what Pete Hegseth said, here's why it's a lie, here's what Steve Miller said. That doesn't even make sense on the face of it. It's just like, ugh, it's very annoying when we get into these ridiculous conflicts and have to lie about it, because the truth is that we're occupied by a foreign state, and that might cause Americans to get angry if they knew that. From Europa.com, U.S. war planners significantly underestimated Iran's willingness to close the Strait of Hormuz in response to U.S. military strikes while planning for war. According to multiple sources familiar with the matter who spoke to CNN, top officials within the Trump administration acknowledged to lawmakers during recent classified briefings that they did not plan for the possibility of Iran closing the Strait of Hormuz in response to strikes because they believed a closure would hurt Iran more than the United States. Do you see where the problem is? Do you see the underlying problem with everything America is doing in Iran? Do you understand that our failure in this conflict goes directly back to literally the first and in a lot of ways only important law of war from Sun Tzu? Know your enemy. It's the golden rule of war. Know your enemy, know yourself. We don't even try to understand our enemy, and you can see the consequences. Do you think Trump even can model the mindset of people that are out on a street being airstruck, waving their flag and refusing to even take shelter? Like, do you think they calculated for that? I think if they would have understood that this was who they were dealing with, maybe they would have understood that killing their supreme leader and Pope probably wasn't a good idea. Probably wouldn't have made them want to come to your side, only harden their hearts. Again, I'm saying all of this, like, it's hard. It's hard to like break the habit of speaking as if America and the American politicians are working for America. Like, there's this understood, you know, kind of just established thing where it's like, America should be doing anything for America, but like, that's just not the case. And the reason I'm saying that is because it's like, they know all of this. To even say like, oh, they didn't know the Strait of Hormuz would be shut. Wow, are they idiots? They don't understand the Iranian? Like, maybe that's the case. Maybe they genuinely were like, thought like, oh, the Iranians aren't going to slightly harm their economic prospects because of the war with us. Like, no, that's you people. No, you people value money over everything. You people make decisions like this. The Iranians are willing to sacrifice. They're okay with hurting themselves a little bit if it kills you. So you didn't take that into account. You didn't understand that. So I guess it could go either way. Either our top warfighters and the people making these decisions literally do not understand the first law of war to know your enemy. They just are treating Iranians like you don't have to take their mindset, their anything into consideration. Or they know exactly how bad this was going to go, which is why they did it in the first place. At this point, I think it's a little mix of both. I think it's a little one, a little bit of the other. I think the people getting us into the war know exactly how bad it's going to be, are doing it for that reason and with that intention. And the people prosecuting the war are being led around by the nose and are dumb. So, sucks, but there it is. It sucks, but there it is. With Iran war exit elusive, Trump aides vied to affect outcome. Okay. White House factions shape Trump's messaging. Economic team warns of oil shock. Political aides urge limited quick operation. Hawks push for sustained Iran pressure. A complex tug of war inside the White House is driving U.S. President Donald Trump shifting public statements on the course of the Iran war as aides debate when and how to declare victory, even as the conflict spreads across the Middle East. They're debating when and how to declare victory, folks. Again, this is the other issue. It's like, to a certain degree, you always have to take in public opinion, especially in a system like ours. But that's always supposed to be secondary to like what the right thing is. But it's totally backwards with this administration. It's like they actually don't care about winning the war. They're actually not concerned about like the tactical or strategic reality on the ground. They are hyper concerned about how to spin it for the American people. You've got your priorities completely backwards, which is why we are where we are right now. Stop making decisions on the basis of the bad advice you're getting from your Israeli PR experts. And I want to get into that here because there's been a video that came out a little while ago. It was in the Eighth Front War with Shlomo Kramer, but it's been going viral sort of multiple times in the last few days. But what's going viral is a shorter clip. I have the longer clip, and I've actually been meaning to go over this ever since I did the Eighth Front, because this video is the blueprint. He gives you the entire blueprint, and it's pretty amazing when you actually listen to what he's saying. So I have the longer clip. I have the full 3.5 minute video here. I won't be able to get to all of it probably, but I'll get to as much of it as possible in this segment, and then we'll see what happens next hour. But let's go to clip 42 here. This is Israeli billionaire Shlomo Kramer, who's like the godfather of Israeli cybersecurity. Again, I just don't have time to fill you in on everything that we've covered on this show and elsewhere for the last couple of years, but the Cyber Dome, basically Israel has a very, very well-oiled operation where they are providing cybersecurity or integral in the cybersecurity systems of like every Western country, the Five Eyes countries, Germany, America, obviously. And so they are very, like, they are taking over cybersecurity for these countries. Israel is handling Germany's cybersecurity at this point, and they're ingratiating themselves more and more, and obviously doing it in big tech and elsewhere rapidly and in a strategic fashion as well. Here's Shlomo Kramer talking about what comes next. Let's watch.
Network Shlomo Kramer, also one of the founders of Checkpoint, another big cyber company. Shlomo, it's great to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
How is AI cyber warfare shaping geopolitics right now?
So AI is going to revolutionize cyber warfare, is revolutionizing cyber warfare from critical infrastructure to the fabric of society and politics, and undermining it, giving unfair advantage to authoritarian governments against democratic countries, First Amendment type of...
That's already happening?
That's already happening. You're seeing the polarization in countries that allow for the First Amendment and protect it, which is great. And I know it's difficult to hear, but it's time to limit the First Amendment in order to protect it.
All right, hold on. We've got to pause it right there. We'll be pausing and going through because we've got to go line by line. Because what he says, again, it's important. He's saying it in a very particular way. He doesn't say we have to get rid of the First Amendment. He says we have to limit the First Amendment in order to protect it. So that's the way this argument is being framed, is that unfettered free speech is dangerous and actually leads to, you know, a crushing of free speech. It could lead to totalitarian government. So in order to protect free speech, we have to limit free speech. That's the way this is being phrased. Now, we can reject it outright on that basis, but let's continue to listen. Now, he says they'll have an unfair advantage. It's a threat to critical security. So this all started with the question was, what is the role of AI in cyber warfare? And he's basically saying that AI is dangerous. Therefore, we need to limit the First Amendment in order to protect the First Amendment. That's the quote that you keep hearing. That's the way this is being framed. And he's talking about polarization, which he wants to get rid of dissident voices. It's not that complicated. Let's keep watching.
What do you mean?
I mean that we need to control the platforms, all the social platforms. We need to stack rank the authenticity of every person that expresses themselves online and take control over what they are saying based on that ranking.
The government should control the social media.
Yeah, should do that. And we need to educate people against ICE, and government need to develop cyber defense programs that are as sophisticated as the cyber attack. Today it's a 1 to 100 ratio. And really, government are not doing this today at any rate, and enterprises are left fending from themselves.
The technology is moving much faster than the political system typically can to respond
to it. So you need to use technology in order to stabilize the political system, and you need to put adjustments that are perhaps not
necessary. I mean, we're at a point, though. Right. I can go on Instagram or TikTok, and frankly, it already is becoming unclear what is fake and what is real.
Exactly.
And once you eliminate that ability to discern truth from fiction, then what are you left with?
You are left with polarization of society and inner fighting, and you have to control that. And you see that already happening across the world. So this is an urgent need by the government to do that. And until then, enterprises are buying by themselves more and more cybersecurity solutions, but they can't afford all these solutions by themselves. So they are looking for ways to deliver more efficient consumption.
And I assume you have some of those ways, obviously.
Right. So, and that drives really the next generation of companies such as Wiz, CrowdStrike, Cato networks on the network that are platforms and are able to deliver this extended need for security in an affordable way for enterprises.
For enterprises,
right.
Not for governments.
Not for government, but governments need to start building their programs, and the same tools can be used also by governments.
But the two leaders in AI, one is China, which obviously already is using AI to
Absolutely.
Control the population,
yeah.
And here we're all out in a race with China. And so we're not as interested in regulation right now, certainly not at the state level, for example.
And that's a big mistake, because if China has a single narrative that protects its inner stability, and the U.S. has multiple allows for multiple narratives, it puts them in an unfair advantage that long term is going to cost the stability of the nation. So changes must be made.
So there you go. And again, he ends it there by praising China's single narrative where only pro-China content is allowed. I figured I'd let it all go. We're going to revisit that in the first 5 minutes of the next hour and just pick it apart and point by point explain to you that he just gave you the entire blueprint that they are running at this moment. We have the blueprint of the Death Star. Now all we need is, fly our spaceships in there and blow it all to pieces. I'll explain to you on the other side. Stay with us.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt, IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification and the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexandershow.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexandershow.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexandershow.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.